Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me over the phone is my wonderful and frequent guest, Monsignor Michael McGee, who teaches at the seminary, St. Charles Borromeo Seminary, and he has graciously agreed to come on today and talk about the second Sunday in Advent's gospel reading and the two readings and his homily thereto that he gave this past Sunday. So, Monsignor, hi. Welcome.
Hi, Dave. Good to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, it's always good to have you because I know we always get a great teaching and discussion and on the topics we talk about, most especially those being your homilies. First, let me start with St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, Monsignor, for our listeners, why don't you kind of set the context of this past, second Sunday of Advent in the readings from your perspective, and what did you bring in your homily at St. Francis Cabrini Parish?
Sure. Well, it seems that no matter what cycle we're in, whether we're reading through Matthew, Mark, or Luke, the second Sunday of Advent usually presents us with a teaching of St. John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. When, in preparation for the coming of the Lord, John the Baptist appears in the desert near the Jordan River, baptizing for repentance of sins. And it's his message that we hear that sort of sets the tone for our Advent preparation. And it's a message we really need to hear today as well. I think there were a lot of expectations of the coming of the Messiah, a lot of expectations that God was going to come and make things right. And that's true. But I think sometimes our expectations of how we expect God to make things right sort of leaves ourselves out of the equation, and we want him to clear all the obstacles out of our path, and to make life easy, and to if there's oppression from the outside, to take that away. If there's injustice, that we don't have to see that. Any kind of to remove from us any kind of disasters. When in fact our Lord, as the Messiah, comes precisely into a world that needs him as Savior. And we need him as Savior, each and every one of us in our own individual lives. And so I think sometimes we want to have a great celebration of the Christmas season, and we want to see things perfect. I always am amazed, and I've seen it in my own family too, how people want everything to be perfect at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And that's precisely, they put so much pressure on themselves and on their families and get so upset and depressed because things are not perfect, and they don't seem to them to be the way that they should be for Christmas. When in fact, the imperfections that are in us is precisely what we need to put before the Lord for his work of salvation at this time of year. And of all the things that we'd like to see changed for Christmas. Mm-hmm. The number one thing for each and every one of us should be ourselves. That
absolutely.
It's from within that the change takes place. I was just thinking and meditating in the homily about the people of Israel living there under Roman rule and under this oppression, and almost anybody's expectation of the Messiah would have likely been that he was going to come and free them from their from the rule of foreigners, and make their life so much easier in that way. When we look back at history, 100 years after that, The Romans were still there. In fact, they were more powerful than ever. The temple that they had hoped to see glorified, you know, had in fact been destroyed. Mm-hmm. There were so many things that would have looked from their perspective as a disaster, and yet the Messiah had come. His work had begun in human hearts, and that was to transform the world far more than the things that they wanted to see happen, because it was a change that was taking root in the world within human beings' hearts.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And eventually that did change things on the outside. It changed society. It brought about new ways of living, new works of charity, new kinds of freedom for society. But it took those things took time as the real change began to take place in human hearts. And I think for us, the most important thing to realize is that we don't need to wait until things are perfect on the outside. The change that our Lord wants to come and bring by his coming that we acknowledge and celebrate every Advent, the change that can start now, no matter what external circumstances mm-hmm. are, mm-hmm. is the change within us, the change of our hearts, the radical conversion that needs to take place every day to put him and his kingdom first in our lives and really begin to live for that rather than for any other mm-hmm. external reasons.
Well, thank you, Monsignor. I was looking at the second reading, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, which I happened to be the lector that morning at 9 o'clock.
Right.
And but in the lector's books or book that we lectors get, there's always a good explanation and discussion at the bottom of what that particular reading means. But so, and there were two words, and in their endurance and encouragement that, it was Romans 15, 4 through 9,
Right.
And so, I mean, could you discuss the encouragement, that whole point of that from Romans?
Right. Well, what I remember specifically thinking about those words is, I think sometimes we want God to be the God of quick fixes mm-hmm. and just to wave his hand and just make external reality better mm-hmm. for us. Mm-hmm. He can certainly do that, but that wouldn't necessarily be what is best for us.
Mm-hmm.
I have said he's not the God of quick fixes, but he's the God, as St. Paul calls him, the God of endurance and encouragement, because rather than take difficulties out of our path, mm-hmm. he leads us through them, and by means of them, he purifies us and brings us closer to himself. And that's, in the end, far better for our welfare than simply easing our path and making us comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Our selfishness really wants those latter things to happen, just to be comfortable and not to have worries. But it's when we have those worries and difficulties that we are led to take to him and have him as our Father help us through them.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we really come to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we don't realize sometimes that what he wants most is for us to know him,
mm-hmm.
not just to be cushy.
Mm-hmm.
And not have any worries that lead us into his arms.
Mm-hmm. Well, Monsignor, let me, if you will indulge me, let me kind of do a quick two verses from that reading. It says, "Brothers and sisters, whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. And then may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another in keeping with Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That was about half of it. I mean, just to refresh our listeners' memories, for those who attended or maybe not have attended but read that. But he's bringing hope, as you say. It's not necessarily when we ask for something that we really think we should have, but we don't get it, or we feel that the Lord is not listening. But it's always calling us to have hope.
Right.
Correct?
Absolutely. And, when the way that begins, whatever was written down before us was written for our instruction. Mm-hmm. We should never read the scriptures as if it's just a historical account of these mm-hmm. people who listened to our Lord and didn't understand. You know, the Sadducees and Pharisees, the two different camps within the Jewish religion at that time, we read about them and we look at them and we see how John took them to task because they were coming just as observers, not the one they wanted to investigate. They weren't coming to be changed themselves. They were coming to spy on what was happening and just to yeah. just to be there and see what was happening. Mm-hmm. And be able to look in on the action. But he really takes them to task and reminds them that they too need to be changed, mm-hmm. and that repentance is important for them as it is for the people that they look down on mm-hmm. as the common people. I think when we're told that those things are written for us, mm-hmm. You know, too often I think we read about the Pharisees and Sadducees and things, oh, those people back then, and sometimes it even gets into kind of anti-Jewish kind of thoughts in people's minds,
yes,
you know, oh,
yes.
those people who just couldn't understand and rejected our Lord and rejected what he was saying. What we're supposed to be hearing there is we are those people.
Exactly.
Now.
Yeah, exactly.
We're the ones.
Yeah.
We should look at them and say, am I in the same boat? Am I coming as an observer? How many Catholics speak of the church as them?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
as something that from the outside they speak of the church as this third party that's supposed to be doing things for them and that's somehow not coming through. But really, every one of us is part of the church. Every one of us is part of the good things and the bad things mm-hmm. in the church. And it should be our own personal responsibility that's coming out of our hearing of those words, even of criticism. Those words that St. John the Baptist brings, and especially the one big word that it's a richer Greek word mm-hmm. than the English word. We know the word repent, and I think sometimes we think of a Bible thumping condemnation with that word. But the Greek word is beautiful. It means literally let your mind be changed,
mm-hmm.
metanoete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what to come to the Lord and say, Lord, make my mind a clean slate and just put into it the thoughts that are your thoughts. Take out of my mind and heart those things that keep me from you, and write your word in my soul and in my heart, so that it's your thoughts that power me and propel me, and not these thoughts that are from my own prejudices mm-hmm. and my own presuppositions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and which leads us to that harmonious relationship that we strive for with our fellow parishioners, our fellow citizens, our family members. I mean, we're always seeking, we want to seek and hope that we can harmonize and be of one mind. Is that correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And when we find ourselves so impatient with others, I mean, very often it's the very things that are in us that we're impatient about with others. And when we really see ourselves and we see how much patience from God we rely on, it should really make us much more patient
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
with each other.
Yeah, and we all have moments where we become impatient, sometimes more so than others, hopefully, and not too frequently, but it's happened to me, you know, it happens to everyone. And I'm thinking, then in retrospect, like, wow, what happened there? You know, what triggered me
right.
and why did I do that? And, you know, and that, but then that's when repentance can come in and, you know, and when we beg the Lord's forgiveness and someone else we may have wronged or hurt with some, ill-advised
right.
words in the moment, in the heat of the moment. And like, what was I thinking? How did that happen when I'm trying to, you know, practice my faith and be like that? But we're human and we fall. You know, we make mistakes.
Right.
You know? So.
Right.
Anything else, Monsignor? Now, in the gospel, I mean, let me circle back to that because you mentioned the Sadducees and the Pharisees where, I mean, our Lord calls them out, like, you brood of vipers. I mean, that struck me from the gospel reading. that you that is there. You know, but he, you know, just testing them, because as you say, they just came to spy on him, you know, so they can catch him in, you know, something that they can use against him. So,
right. And the other part of that picture, I think, that we can put together is, you know, these were people who were the status symbols of their own day. They wore very distinctive clothing that marked them out as religious leaders. They had places of honor when they went out in public. They were looked to especially by the people who wanted to be close to God, as leaders who would help them be close to God. And yet John is reminding them, you can't hide behind your status. You can't hide behind the things. We spend so much more time sometimes trying to make people think that we're holy and good than trying to be holy and good. And that's what he's really calling out in them. But in so far as we can be honest to see that within ourselves, he's calling that out within us too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Monsignor.
Not to tear down, but to help us to really become new creatures that God wants us to be.
Well, yes, and through that, metanoia te, is that word, through that change and conversion of heart and mind?
Right, because the let your mind be changed, that word mind in the Jewish world means so much more than just the you know, our brain and the thoughts. It's our whole inner person. Let your whole inner self be renewed by God. And that's God's merciful action in us, to change us in that way. That's why this is not just to condemn, but to invite us to let God completely do the work that only He can do, and that's to change us within.
And that's because of His total love for us. I mean, circle back again. I mean, it's not a fire and brimstone message necessarily that, you know, he's just going to burn us up right away. I mean, it's because of his love for us that he is coming to us and always beckoning us and always after us.
No, absolutely. And it's the fact that that kind of transformation brings about a completely new kind of human being. That's why Christianity set the world on fire. You know, that we didn't have any weapons. We didn't have any kind of weapons of destruction. We only had this inner transformation that people saw and wanted a part of it, and that it was that that led Christianity to go to the ends of the earth. And God wants to do that again today. We're not going to change things simply by destroying enemies. We're going to change things by being transformed and being that light within humanity that the world needs.
Okay. Well, thank you, Monsignor. So that was the second week of Advent. So coming up is the third Sunday in Advent, and I'm sure you're preparing. I presume you'll be at Cabrini, and you'll have several of the masses. But so the third Sunday, give us a little glimpse of that message as a prelude, if you don't mind.
Well, I think the first part of the message is just the special status of this Sunday. That is, it's known by the first word in the Latin antiphon at the beginning of Mass, Gaudete, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice is the way that reading begins. And it's distinctive because of the special color of the Advent candle, when people have an Advent wreath, and even if they have the vestments, rose vestments are appropriate at that time. You know, it reminds us that in the darkness of sin within the world, the dawn has come with the coming of our Lord. And that rose-colored vestments, I think, should remind us specifically of the dawn. And,
beautiful.
You know, when we come to there is a new theme of joy within the readings. You know, we're reminded of all the miracles that Jesus was performing, that he had begun, as the prophets had foretold, to make the blind regain their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers be cleansed. And we're to think, I think, not just of those physical maladies, but of the spiritual counterparts of our spiritual blindness, mm-hmm. that God wants to take that away and let us really see. You know, if we have trouble believing sometimes, or if we have difficulty in our faith, there's no prayer that I think pleases our Lord more than asking him for the gift of spiritual sight. Lord, make me see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
yes.
he can do that, and he
absolutely.
Will.
Absolutely, and he will.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and really make the lame walk. There are people who can't use their legs, but all of us have difficulty walking in the right path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's to... In that sense, we're spiritually lame sometimes. And so it's those the spiritual equivalents of those maladies that our Lord healed is what we put before him and ask him to heal with confidence that he will. And, you know, it's that new world of having those maladies be healed by the one who came to do that, that is the new tone of joy that comes into the Advent expectation
mm-hmm.
in this Gaudete Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you, Monsignor, for the glimpse and the prelude to this to the third Sunday in Advent and the readings and the message. I kind of chuckled before you went into that. I mean, because I know you were gonna use the word rose and rather than pink. You know, sometimes there's a uh-huh. little inside sacristy baseball. I mean, like some people are like don't call it pink. It's rose, you know. I think about it. I just chuckle at that. I mean, just for a little bit of levity here.
Right.
But
it's only
it is
two
rose.
Sundays of the year that color. Once in the middle of Advent and the other in the middle of Lent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's the same kind of thing. Within a penitential season, there's that atmosphere of joy that comes into the readings and prayers because mm-hmm. our penitential observance is leading us to that newness of life that is really a joyful thing.
Okay. Well, thank you, Monsignor. We're getting on in time here. Thank you for that, you know, going back, that retrospective on this past Sunday, the second Sunday in Advent. But
sure.
You wanted to talk about something else, and I want you to talk about something else, and that's the Institute for Christian Formation out at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary, which I happen to be in one of the seminars. I'm in my second seminar of the first year. Please share with our listeners, and you have in the past, but I mean, how it came about, but there are some changes that you also want to get out to our faithful listeners.
Sure. Right. The institute that you mentioned, the Institute for Christian Formation, is one thing that I want to let everybody know about, because every January we have a new group starting, and people would be able to become part of that. It's a program that has been really popular with people who have taken it, and it's the opportunity to go through the content of the Catechism of the Catholic Church on an adult level and engage their faith. A lot of people, you know, finish their religious education when they were in eighth grade or sometimes before. And so for people who are finished with high school, that age, and who want to go deeper into their faith, and this is really not any one particular category. We have people who've never been past religious education in grade school, and we even have people who've completed graduate degrees. And then we've even had permanent deacons in that class. So it's the whole spectrum of people. But the common denominator is that they all want to speak about and have a chance to get together with others who are whose faith is important to them, and to learn more about the Catholic faith. It's eight different Thursday evenings in any one season. And each one of those Thursday evenings, there are two different sessions about a particular part of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And information about that can be found on the probably the best way to do it is look at the website. The seminary website is www.scs, for St. Charles Seminary, .edu. That's scs.edu. And then there's a link there to the School of Theological Studies. There are four different links, but the School of Theological Studies is the part of the seminary that people too often don't know about, and that's for people who are not in priestly formation but are just adults who want to study the faith on their own. We have both degree programs and non-degree programs. This is a non-credit, non-degree. It's just for personal enrichment program. But once you're on the School of Theological Studies page, the Institute for Christian Formation is one of those links, and it will tell you more about the program I'm talking about here. So I invite people to take a look at that. It's $250 for the full semester, full season of meetings, because we have speakers who go in more depth of each one of those sessions of the sections of the catechism.
And let me say, Monsignor, and the presenters are really awesome and dynamic, and every presenter is phenomenal, I think. And so my classmates, my seminar, and different ones, my seminar mates. You know, we just walk out of there and like, oh my gosh, that was so good, you know. So right. I just want to, get a personal shout out. So there are many
right.
presenters. There are many presenters, you know.
Yeah, I want to say something too about, that one, of course, is for those who are not necessarily interested in getting a graduate degree in theology. But of course, we do have also a degree program. So people who are wanting to take a Master of Arts in theology. We have that for anyone, not just for seminarians. Mm-hmm. And those are classes that are offered in the evenings, usually Mondays and Wednesdays. We have some Tuesday classes for extra. But that's available in person. But for the first time this coming January also we're offering of the degree courses in online. So if people are not able to drive to the seminary but are able to do the studies on a graduate level, it's offered completely online, and it's asynchronous, which means people don't have to be on at a particular class time. They interact with the professor and with their other students on their own time. And so it's a versatile way that it opens up the possibility for people getting a degree in theology online. They also have a little bit of a break in price from the regular Master of Arts courses.
Wonderful.
So
the
way to find that on the School of Theological Studies page, you'll see the Master of Arts in Theology degree as one of the links under that. It's possible even to register for those courses online. There's also the telephone number for calling us for any questions or how we can help you to look into the studies that you might want to do, either for credit or non-credit.
And do you happen to have that telephone number, or is it
610-785-6287?
Okay, wonderful.
Or if somebody prefers to write an email, it's just sts@scs.edu.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Well, thanks for sharing that. It's a very dynamic, program, the seminar, and then the expansion to the online version, and it's and the Masters of Arts.
Right, that's the online version of the regular classes. Mm-hmm. The Institute that I mentioned, the Catechism program, we want to keep that in person.
Okay.
Because the interaction between people is so important.
Oh, it is. It is. And it's fun. It's enriching. Very, very... good questions by all.
Well,
and
thank
others.
You. We really enjoy the program and all of you coming out to it. We like expanding the seminary family far beyond the young men who are studying for the priesthood. There are things for many other people here.
As we wrap up here, would you like to close us out with your blessing, please, and a prayer?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing on all those who are listening to this program. We ask your enlightenment to make our minds and hearts new with the life that only you can bring, and to transform the world through us by transforming us first. Let us be that new kind of creature that shows forth your light in the world. As we move on our Advent journey closer to the celebration of your Son's Nativity, we ask you to purify our hearts to welcome him in a worthy way, and to give us the spiritual joy that is the appropriate response to the newness of his presence. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend on you all and remain with you forever.
Amen. Hey, thank you, Monsignor. This is great. So this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Philadelphia in Doylestown, and WCOJ 1420 in Coatesville in Chester County, wishing you a blessed Advent season, and talk to you soon. God bless. My next guest, hello, this is Dave Parker with Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me in studio today is Lee F. Millis, who's the conductor and music director for the Bucks County Gilbert and Sullivan Society here in our beautiful Bucks County. Lee, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good afternoon.
First, let me start with St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, thank you for coming up here today. We are here to discuss a very powerful musical presentation that Lee and Robert Binkley collaborated on, and that is the performance of Handel's Messiah. So, Lee, could you tell me and tell our listeners of Holy Spirit Radio, which is 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia and 1420 in Coatesville in Chester County? Well, Lee, again, thank you for being here. I'm so excited to interview you because the Messiah is one of my favorites, if not the favorite. And so I just wanted to welcome you here. As I understand, you've been here before.
Well, thanks for having me again. And
you're welcome.
What we're here to talk about is our upcoming performances of Handel's Messiah, which is in a sing-along format, meaning that the audience actually gets to perform by singing the choruses of Handel's Messiah, and that will be sung along with our full 40-piece orchestra and our group of stunning soloists who will sing the arias.
Oh, beautiful.
And also joining us for this performance, we will be joined by the Lenape Chamber Choir under the direction of Jamie Rogers from Lenape Middle School here in Doylestown.
Oh, awesome.
And they'll be joining us on two very famous pieces by Leroy Anderson, Sleigh Ride, and A Christmas Festival.
Oh, excellent.
And those will also feature the chorus of the audience singing in all the famous Christmas carols, such as Joy to the World, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Ding Dong, Merrily on High, Jingle Bells, as a warm-up to Handel's Messiah.
Oh, excellent. Well, that brings to my mind, Lee, how long in the past have these performances been? I mean, you do a full Handel's Messiah sing-along, right?
Well, there's not quite the full Messiah.
Okay.
Being that we're doing it here at Advent and Christmastide.
Oh, that's true.
We will do just the portions that are really appropriate for this time of year. Handel's Messiah actually was written in three full parts, and Handel wrote it in a very brief period of time. In just shy of 2 weeks, he wrote this large, large work, which, as I said, was three parts. The first part is the Christmas, Advent Christmas portion. The second part, is the Passiontide portion of Messiah. Mm-hmm. And then the third part is the Eastertide portion. And we will be doing the full first part for Advent Christmas. It will do with one little teeny portion from the Passiontide section, which is the famous Hallelujah chorus, and then we will do a few excerpts from the third part, which is the Eastertide section, featuring the famous trumpet shell sound, and then the final very large triple chorus at the end, which is called Worthy is the Lamb, and is very, very, very famous, as I said, triple chorus, and you can't really end Messiah without doing that.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
I agree with that. So in my research, basically, the Messiah can be, from my research, the Nativity, the Passion, the Resurrection,
correct,
and the Ascension,
right,
of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And the way, in Handel, again, from my research, he put this together within,
short time.
Short time.
Yep.
You know, and I was just fascinated by reading. I had read stuff before, but I really delved into it over the weekend, and it's just remarkable. It's just remarkable. So any comments about how remarkable that is and how he brought it to fruition?
He stole stuff from himself that was instrumental music and just added words to it and made it part of a chorus. Like there were several sections that were instrumental in terms of things like from Concerti Grossi and duo chores and those kind of things, and just added words to them. So he didn't have to write the music again. He just had to add the words in, or his librettist, actually. He wrote the words, and he just stuck them in. Jennings.
Yes. Yeah, I read about him. Yeah. That fascinating to read about this, folks, if our faithful listeners, if you want to really delve into the genius behind the Messiah. But as Lee said, I mean, he started more with Italian opera.
Yes.
And then as that kind of faded or waned through over the course of his life, he jumped over to more, he came over to
Oratorio.
Yeah. So I thought that was fascinating. You may want to look that up on your own and then while you're listening to it, you get a full effect of appreciation. So that was fabulous. Well, thank you, Lee, for that explanation. Now, a couple years ago, you had come in and talked about it, but since then, the venue where it's going to take place has changed, I believe.
Yes, we've kind of sort of moved our location around a couple times as we've done this over the past, maybe I think it's about 8 or 9 years that we've been doing these performances. And we've started in churches as we started to perform this, but this year we've sort of made a major jump and have moved to the sort of professional stage, and that we will be performing in the theater in the Life Sciences Building at Delaware Valley University, located at 700 East Butler Avenue in New Britain.
All right. Well, thanks. So this is a jump in venue, I was talking with Bill Buckman earlier, and he said this, I mean, and as you just alluded to, it's kind of a step up.
Yes, in that it has, you know, it's a professional theater. It's used for equity performances during the year. It has, you know, theater seating, balcony, you know, the fancy little lights going down the sides of the seats in the theater. There is a small theater pit where the Lenape Chamber Ensemble Choir will be performing in front of the stage, and the orchestra will be on stage, as will the soloists. And, of course, that stage lighting and all that sort of thing, to unlike church settings where you kind of have to make do with what the church has set up, you know, liturgical settings.
Yes. So let me ask you this. How long have you been rehearsing?
Well, for the Messiah, believe it or not, we get a very short rehearsal period because, of course, we've done this for several years now. So the orchestra really has the score under its belt. So we actually only rehearse two times with the orchestra for this. And the soloists come in, and they pretty much learn their music on their own. And they come in, and they get two rehearsals with the orchestra. And we, of course, audition them before they come to do that, so they we select them based on how they know their music. That's how they get selected to do the performances with us.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you, Lee. Remind our faithful listeners when it is.
The performances are on Saturday, December 17th, and there are two of them. One is at 2 p.m. and the other is at 8 p.m. And tickets will be on sale at the door.
And Lee, how much are the tickets?
Tickets for adults are $15, and children 13 and under are free. And just one last note is that if you go to our website, which is bucksgns.org or buckscountygilbertandsullivan.org, you can download the music from the sing-along portion of the show and print them out and bring them along, or just do that at the concert and sing right from your phone.
Excellent. Well, thanks, Lee.
You're very welcome.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, our faithful Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners. So mark your calendars. And what is the date again? The 17th?
Again, Saturday, December 17th at either 2 p.m. or 8 p.m. at the Delaware Valley University Auditorium.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Lee Millis. Really appreciate taking this time out of your busy schedule. Is there anything else you want to wrap up with about this performance coming up?
Well, I will just put in a shameless plug for our spring production, which is going to be Mikado this year, which is on Father's Day weekend. I believe that's June 17 and 18 and 19, and that will also be at Del Valle. And again, that is the famous Mikado of Gilbert and Sullivan.
Okay.
So please mark your calendars for that.
All right, Lee. Well, thank you. And maybe you can come back and prior to that, and we can do a piece on that.
Oh, would absolutely love to. I'd be glad to bring along our Bucks County GNS founder, Bob Binkley, who can tell us a lot more about the group and the show, and that we'd love to do that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Lee Millis of the Bucks County Gilbert and Sullivan Society. I'm here to talk about the upcoming performance of most of Handel's Messiah. Okay, on the 17th of December, 2022. This is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio. I want to thank our faithful listeners. I want to let you know that you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio on 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia and 1420 WCOJ in Coatesville and Chester County. So thanks again for listening and talk to you soon. God bless.